Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to God Stories. Hope you're doing good this morning. Just sitting here in the office going over where we left off last week in this thing of Ezekiel 37. I thought it was strange just for a testimony just for me. It excited me. I had one of my good friends, Jack Ditt, last week. He texted me and said, did you know that the winter storm that went up, north was called Ezekiel? And I did not know that. And, of course, a winter storm covers everything white. Wherever snow falls, it turns a landscape that may even look ugly to something beautiful. And I believe that's what's coming, is I believe the presence of God, the great storm that we're about to have, is the presence of God. And it's going to turn our land, which is in our own heart, first, white as snow. It's going to make us look different. It's going to make us walk differently. We're going to be more in love with the presence than anything that we have in our life. There's so many people, it's not their fault. It's not really our fault in certain ways, unless you start knowing the truth, that are taught in this world to protect their things, protect their businesses, protect their ministries and all types of things. And a lot of that is resulted out of fear. But if you're walking with the Lord, there's nothing to fear. And that's going to happen. We're going to end up loving the Lord thy God with all of our heart. And we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves as well. And that's going to be revolutionary for us to stop protecting ourselves. Protecting yourself, wisdom, the carnal wisdom in your mind would say, well, that's wisdom to protect yourself. No, it's wisdom for God to let God protect yourself, protect you. And that's what Jesus did. It didn't look like God was protecting Jesus when he was on the cross and everything was being torn up, including his body and it seemingly everything that he had built. But the way God does things is not the way that we do things here. His ways are much higher than our ways, and his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. And I believe we've got an invitation to get there, to be with him, to walk with him, have his thoughts and to have his ways. But we've got a long way to go, but we're getting there. I'll give you a little bit of a God story. it comes to mind is I was with a good old friend of mine. He was my spiritual father, a very famous prophet. But we were in California one time, and there the presence of God seemingly was just unreal. I mean, there was literal gold, believe it or not, there was gold raining down. I mean, it wasn't stuff you had to look for. It was literally, you could see it pouring down out of the ceiling, but it wasn't. It was coming out of the heavens, and it would just drape all over you. People were running around like their chicken, like a chicken with their head cut off, and praising the Lord. Everything was crazy. People had staffs and tambourines, you name it. They were just going to town. And I looked over at Bob, and Bob was just watching. And I was waiting on him to say something, and I knew he was praying. Even though he's watching, he was praying in his mind. And he looked over at me and he said, I asked the Lord how much this is him. And I said, well, what did he say? He said, 10%. 10% was him. And I was totally overwhelmed that just the gold, raining, the presence, you could feel the presence, the manifest presence of God. There was even so many angels, it seemingly, of course, that was back when I had hair. They would go by you, and when they would go by you, your hair would move. They were just praising the Lord themselves. And because sometimes if the presence of God is there, even the angels rejoice. They're so happy, and they're more excited than we are. because God's there. You know, they love that types of stuff. And that's why a lot of times when you see pure worship, people running around that's pure, not people that are running around so that everybody can see them, but pure worship. If you look at the worshipers that are worshiping in with a pure heart, that's what the angels are doing. And man, when he said 10%, I thought, man, if we had 100, we couldn't live. We would actually fall over and die or just melt away. And the presence of God, guys, is so great and it's so important. And we have forgotten it. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, we're focused on right now. And sometimes it seems good, you know, and we've got to go at it, but we've got to remember we can't go after the things that God is showing us without the presence of God, without him being with us. It's like Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not going. Even though he had all this, you know, power that God had given him, he knew it was nothing compared to his presence going with him. And I believe that is so true. And that's where we've stopped even today is in Ezekiel 37 is the presence. You know, I'm going to reiterate again, you know, I'm sharing this only because the valley that Ezekiel is being dropped in is what we're going to be dropped in. The valley is coming. There's a dark time upon the earth that's coming. And, but it's the best times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best times that for people that are walking in the spirit, that are walking with God, it's going to be our greatest times where the power of God is going to show up within us with those that are walking with him. And we're going to create unity with God. We're going to raise up God again. In other words, we're going to lift up that standard again. While the enemy's been being flooded, you know, by the enemy. And we're going to lift up a standard that is higher than the enemy. You know, most people, you know, subconsciously these days, you know, you think the enemy's just as strong as God, but he's not near as strong. And matter of fact, he has no power. But it seems that, you know, a lot of us, you know, including myself, sometimes we bow to that negative power because we choose to be in the flesh. We choose to let that small little power that is called our flesh, or you could say Satan, that type of negative power to rule us. And that shows that we're still bowing and worshiping that more than we are worshiping and obeying the presence of God or love or forgiveness or long suffering, you name it. Whatever we bow to, we're going to become. And God wants to clean us up from that stuff. He doesn't want us bowing to all that stuff. He wants us literally being able to live out the inheritance he has left us through his son, Jesus. And we have got to get there. And I really think we're going to get there. I think we're coming close. I think that we're not there, but I believe that the darker it gets on this earth and the darker it gets in our own world, you know, it's pushing us to the Lord, to where we have to have his light. We have to have him in order to continue to live in this place of the presence of God. And so I want to start in Ezekiel 37, verse 9 again, and just go real quickly because I know some of you guys that have just signed up, you may be lost in this series right now, but I'm going to try to back up and just kind of review real quickly, and then we're going to hit this next section. That's all right. We stopped at Ezekiel 37, verse 9 through 10, and it says, this is Ezekiel, and it says, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, what we were talking about here is that, you know, they had come together through prophecy. And prophecy, we all know, is the testimony of Jesus. So when someone truly prophesies, it should point everybody to the Lord instead of to themselves. because the real prophecy always points to Jesus. It always gives a testimony of who he is, and it brings people together. So we saw this beforehand, that the bones came together. And it, we took an example that, you know, Jesus, this was Jesus's life. Jesus came upon the earth. He prophesied not only by his mouth, but he prophesied by his life. He prophesied by his miracles. He prophesied about how he cared for people. And his whole life was a prophecy which brought people together in unity. Now, there was a first dimensional unity because people were together in physical form, but no one was together absolutely, you know, completely in the mental form. Because you see, there's a lot of division that goes on when God shows up as well. There might be coming together, but, you know, sometimes when God shows up, it really manifests our weaknesses. It really manifests our strongholds. That's why sometimes, you know, I'll just take a side road here. You know, when God is showing up, we're looking for everything to be wonderful because we've been trained in this Western world that it's supposed to be this big hype and everybody running around and everybody's having a great time. And that does happen. But we forget the other side of it too. When the presence of God comes, it also creates all kinds of manifestations. You know, and some people get divided from one another. He said he came to bring a sword. And when he shows up and there's all this division, there's all this manifestations, territorialism, brother, you know, against brother, they're talking about each other. And we forget that's part of God's revival too, because he's actually there causing a lot of this stuff to actually come up. But man, we have really given the enemy glory on this. But when the Lord shows up, if you look, when the Lord showed up in the four Gospels, it wasn't, you know, all glory and happiness. Sometimes, the Pharisees were manifesting, even his own disciples were arguing on who's going to be the greatest. You know, think about that. Have you ever been around, you know, in a place of your church or home group or whatever it may be, and there's so much selfish ambition that shows up? And man, we start saying, man, the enemy's in and we've got to bind this and bind that. And instead, wow, the Lord must really be showing up because I'm manifesting all this negativity toward my brothers. Man, if we could give God the glory in all of it and really look at the scriptures, man, the enemy wouldn't have any type of inroad in anything that happens in our life. I'm being serious. I know I get tired of the division because we're constantly blaming it on the enemy or blaming it on one another. And man, I see it sometimes as the Lord really, man, can't we just see that the Lord is here? And that's why all these strongholds are showing up. That's why you're manifesting territorialism. That's why you're manifesting this stronghold. It's because the Lord's in this thing. And we've got to fight to be together. But we tend to really get our eyes, okay, this is the Lord and this is, you know, this is the enemy. This is good and this is bad, you know. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It divides God. I'm telling you, it does. The carnal mind divides God into pieces. That's what they did to the Lord. They divided him. They pulled his joints out of joint. He got divided because the carnal mind divides the body of Christ and it puts it in sections instead of putting it on us all being one together. And we've got to have this. We've got to get back to where we see everything as what God is doing instead of what the enemy's doing. And the enemy's probably not even in it. The only way the enemy gets in it is that we let him in it. And, I know I'm on my soapbox, but boy, lately I've been dealing with all kinds of division and man, I see more God in this stuff than anything. Does it wear me out? Absolutely. I get tired of sometimes the childish things that are done, but hey, I'm a child too. And I've got to consider myself lest I also be tempted in these things as well. And here we see the breath of God coming in these guys. They're all together. The bones are together. But now, even though they're together, now they need the presence. They need the ruach of God. And that we saw that, you know, in scripture that Jesus did breathe on his disciples before he left the earth. And then he told them, you know, to wait for him until Pentecost, and they would be endued by power on high, in which that was the Father breathing on them, breathing in them. Jesus breathed on them, and then he breathed in them. And then they all came together in unity, speaking a language for everyone to understand. And they became one in spirit. There's a difference between coming one in physical form and then one in spirit. When you become together in physical form and one in spirit, you create a great army of God. Coming together and worshiping and all that stuff is part of it. That's to get us to that place where we've got to get one in spirit. It's great to come together, but man, we've got to start knowing one another and giving each other grace and, you know, and realize we have got to have the presence of God to do this. And so he's prophesying to the breath, and it says, and the breath came into them, and they lived. You might want to underline that. And they lived. They haven't lived yet. They're together, but they haven't lived yet. And that's a big statement there, because if without the presence of God, we really aren't living. They're together. These are people that are together. And it seems good. Right now, man, I would have thought, man, already this is awesome. You know, we got a revival going on and there's people together, but we don't have the presence of God or the love of God controlling us yet. But now the presence of God comes, breathes in them, and now they're living. And it says, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. In other words, we can't be a great army without the presence. I'm telling you, we cannot be a great army without the presence. That doesn't mean just us together in unity, but it also means ourselves. We've got to consider ourselves. Are we having the presence of God in our lives to a point to where we're wanting to be together in unity, no matter what? Are we wanting to make restitution more with our enemies than protecting ourselves? Are we more sensitive to our enemies' needs than our own? You know, Romans 12 talks about it. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. That means we've got to be more considerate knowing what our enemy's needs are than ourselves. Man, can you imagine a group of people, just a group of people loving like this, that we're more concerned for our enemy's needs than we are ourselves? Man, that would be incredible. That you would know that the presence of God is controlling us, or the love of God is controlling us. Because they're the dry bones as well, just as we were before Jesus, you know, breathed upon us and put us back together. Then I put in here just for the notes, you know, the body of Christ is beginning to come together with the love movement. You know, everybody talks about love. Everybody's talking, but I'm guarantee you, this love movement that's coming, we're going to be tested on the very opposite. We're going to be tested to get divided. I'm telling you, no, I'm staying. You know, it's like Elijah and Elisha. There was a point, you know, Elisha's walking with Elijah, and Elijah looks at him, and they're not doing bad. There's no division. And Elijah tells him several times, hey, you just stay here. He goes, no, doesn't matter where you go, I'm going. I'm going wherever you go. And, hey, Susan, Miss Allie's at the door. But anyway, Elisha would go wherever Elijah went. He didn't have to pray about it. He just knew Elijah was his connection. And wherever Elijah would go, Elisha was going. he wasn't saying, you know, well, it just feels really good here. I believe God's moving here, and, you know, and you just go on, you know, and I'm going to stay here. No, he went past that. There are great times where you can decide to stay there, you know, but there's deeper places if we decide to be with one another, no matter what. And that's what Elisha did. It's what his disciples did, some of them. And this is what's happening right now, is that people are starting to not only decide to be together, but they're deciding that, hey, relationship's much more important than what I have in life. I'm telling you, and I've said this so many times, relationship or being together with the right people is going to be more important than having, you know, a good career. Because a career is going to be blown out of the water here pretty soon with all the stuff that's coming. Having one another is going to be much more important. Having unity with one another, having friendship and love with one another, it's going to be much more important than having our own career or having our own ministry. Besides, who cares about our ministries and who cares about our careers? As long as God is with us and with our families and with the ones that God is connected to, that's the major important thing. So the body of Christ is beginning to come together with the love movement, but there is one thing we lack that we need, and that is the manifest presence of God. And of course, we've talked about that last week, and I wrote this down. When we see one of the greatest prophecies that occurs in the Spirit was in Acts 2, and we talked about that too, where this right here came to pass in Acts 2, where it says, and suddenly, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, or you could say other languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I wrote this down. When the manifest presence of God comes, it fills the person down to their very bones, down to their DNA, and it transforms their DNA into a nature of God. In other words, they forget themselves. The nature of God. They again become a child of God. We're transformed into his likeness. That's what we need. And then it says, of course, after they, you know, were filled with the Spirit, the power of God was there. There was 3,000, you know, brought into the church, because there were people there from many different languages. And they knew that this could only be the Lord. And that's the way church started. The breath of God breathed within a few people. And man, everybody wanted it. Because they were, us Americans being filled with God in such a way that we have Muslims around us that are, you know, maybe the American, they're enemies of America. You know, and it transforms us to really loving them, and we speak their language. Can you imagine the shock that it would have? Can you imagine them changing in such a way, the breath of God coming in them and it changing them, and then they start prophesying and talking to us? Man, what would that do? It'd probably offend us into really having to really repent to the Lord. But that's the kind of stuff that happened there. There was all time, man, the enemy was getting offended so much in this process because he can't stand unity. He cannot stand the presence of God because he can't have it. And the thing about it is that the manifest presence of God will come when we're in unity. We've got to have unity. We've got to have where we fight to have the unity of the faith in Christ Jesus with one another. To where relationships much more important than our stuff, because the enemy can't stand it. Here's what will happen. If we fight to have love for one another, restore one another, peace with one another, guess who guess what unity does? It beckons God's presence to come, and he has to come because we are fighting to have unity with one another, not just unity of gathering, but unity of assembling. There's a difference between gathering together and assembling together. When you assemble something, you connect it in such a way where it becomes one. It goes into it and it connects them. And now they're one. Even though you're together and you're going, hallelujah, praise God, you're still not together. But when you start knowing one another and loving one another, then God put it, that manifest presence of God puts you together. Now you're one. And when the enemy looks at us, when we're in unity, he looks at God. Telling you. But if we constantly are divided and we're not fighting for restoration, then the enemy has an inroad into all of our lives if we're not in unity with one another. And one of the things that the presence of God does is it makes us selfless and we no longer fear. Perfect love will cast out fear. In other words, the presence of God, when it comes, if we desire it more than our own lives, than our own stuff, it will cast out our fear. And we will love one another in such a way, we'll stop trying to be spiritual. We'll be like God. It's amazing what happens. You go from being transformed from selfish to selfless. And of course, we can see that the disciples became this that day. The enemy knows it's no match to the presence of God in our lives when we come together. It drives out the enemy. It scatters the enemy. Let me give you a couple of scriptures here. Remember, he breathed the breath of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God within these that were together. And then they came alive. And then they became an army. We're not an army if we're together, but we're not together. In other words, that we're not an army if we're physically come together and then we're going home and, you know, we did our thing. We did our gig. It was a great message. It was a great worship session and, you know, and all that stuff. All that stuff doesn't mean nothing if we're not coming together outside of that. I mean that with all my heart. It doesn't mean a hill of beans if we're not doing what God is trying to get us into. The worship, the word, and everything is not only trying to get us in oneness with God, but it's beckoning us to be oneness with one another. Oneness with one another. If I'm choosing to be one here in the presence of God, if I choose to be one with the presence of God this way, then I've got to be one with the presence of God this way. On earth as it is in heaven. In other words, your kingdom come. In other words, that part of unity, that unity that is in the heavens, all the family of God that is in the heavens that have this unity, that have this oneness, that know one another, that choose to be one with one another, that all of that unity that they have has to be on the earth. And it takes a death to get this. Just as Jesus, it took a death to get one with them. It took a death for them to be one. And then I've always said, you know, when there's arguments, when there's, you know, I happen to deal with all kinds of stuff, but when there's death or when there's just division with one another, whether it be ministries or whether it be businessmen, someone has to die in order to create the unity. In other words, someone's going to have to lay down protecting themselves and see it God's way and create the unity. And nobody wants to die because we'd rather have our own presence than, you know, the Lord's. But to have the Lord's, we've got to lay down our lives so that we can find it. We've got to seek to lose our life so that we can find it. And here in this scripture, You know, we see that the presence of God comes in 1 Samuel. And this is the Old Testament, because you can see this in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 4, 5 through 9. This is, I love this scripture because I love David and I love reading the Old Testament. It says, and when the ark of the covenant of the Lord, now we could put there the presence of God, when the presence of God came into the camp, you know, they're carrying the ark, or they're carrying the presence upon their shoulders. Think about this prophetically. People that are carrying the presence of God, just like Jesus, that carried not only the presence of God in him, but we see in the Jordan River, when he came up out of the river, the presence of God came upon him. There's a difference. There's a presence of God that lives within you that you have to follow, but there needs to be an outward expression of the presence of God as well in our lives. And I think that comes with unity with one another, unity with God, and us living out the unity of the brethren. Because you see the Lord fighting all of his life. There's such a war that goes on in the spirit to create unity again among the brethren. And when he would show the Father, and in other words, when he would show love, through whether it be miracles or the way he took care of someone or the way he spoke to someone, it was all to create unity among the brethren so that this presence that was on him could come upon everyone. Everyone's mind would change to want to be with God and want to be with one another. When is the last time we saw all of us want to be with one another more than anything? Hasn't happened, not in years. There's no one sacrificing their life to be with one another. I'll sacrifice my life to be with God, you know. But God is not just up here. God's this way. It's in your brothers. But there's not many of that. I'm called here, I'm called there, you know, and you've got God right in front. We've got God right in front of us in the relationships he's given us. And man, the enemy loves to get us segregated. He loves to keep pulling the body apart and keeping us separated and saying, man, this is the Lord. But we don't realize that the body of Christ is still pulled out of joint. And we've got to get it. We got to get the body of Christ back in joint. And that's us first. We got to get ourselves back in joined to him and joined to the ones that God has put in our life. Now let's read this. This is awesome. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when the presence of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. The earth shook, not because of the presence of God, but because the people shouted so loudly. In other words, when the presence of God comes in, the presence of God in us, then we'll create a sound that will shake the earth. Man, you see this. If we got together, we would create a sound that would turn the earth upside down. If we just consider the presence of God, not the unity of God, more important than ourselves, we would create the sound that would shake the earth again. That's what the disciples did. It says they turned the world upside down. How? Unity. It wasn't just what we've been taught about their miracles, their signs, and their wonders, and all the power. Listen, the true power of God that you walk in is not seen. I'm telling you. It's only seen it's hidden in the heart. And those that catch it and they see it, man, they're ruined forever. Power of God is so silent, you have to be looking. It's hidden in love. It's hidden in care. But it's behind this veil of flesh. It's within a person. It's like Peter, the same thing. You know, Peter was able to look beyond the veil, beyond the skin of that man, Jesus. And he realized, oh my goodness, you're the Messiah. He got the revelation. And here we see him shouting And the earth shakes and says, now when the Philistines heard the noise, in other words, when the enemy heard the sound of the shout of unity with the presence of God coming into the camp. Listen to this. This is incredible. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord, or you could say the presence of the Lord, had come into the camp. I'm telling you, this happened so many times. I've never seen it so many times. I'm 51 years old, and it's the same process of what the enemy does. When the presence of God comes into a church or it comes into a group, and man, there's this shout of unity. There's this sound. There's this heart explosion. The enemy shakes and they get so nervous. And what happens is the enemy will try its best to divide them. He can't do anything with the presence. He can't do anything with that sound because it rules everything. So what he has to do is try to divide it, because if you divide it, it's like if my lips come to a horn to blow, it has to become one with that horn. In other words, it has to touch my lips upon the instrument. And when it touches it and I blow, that creates a sound. But if I take my lips off of it and I try to blow, there's no sound. I may have the instrument, but if I'm not one with that instrument, there is no sound. So the enemy's fine with us being together, but don't be together in unity. In other words, don't be together heart to heart. It's okay to be together, but don't be together in heart. Don't be together in your emotions and your spirit, because then you will create a sound that is like a trumpet. You know, it says the Lord will descend and there'll be a sound of a great trumpet. Oh, now think about that. It's a lot. But there's going to be such unity that there's going to be a sound again that's going to declare the coming of God. That trumpet's us. That there's been some kids around here that's been hearing a trumpet sound. They're literally waking up to a trumpet sound. And it's really a message right now. We have got to get together. We have got to let the Lord's presence come in our life to where it causes us to be together with our brothers and our sisters. Because if we're together with them, we're together with him. What does this sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord, or the presence of the Lord, had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. What? These are God's people, but they're really not God's yet until God comes into the camp. In other words, we're nothing. We can do all of our stuff together until God comes. We're nothing. Without the presence of God, we're nothing. We're just people that are coming together. But man, when God comes into the camp, that's when you become your true identity. And we can't become our true identity until we're together. That is so true. You can't. We can say we have our identity here, but man, you really find out who you are when you have to actually be with one another. That really cleanses the old identity out of us so that we can be the true identity of God on the earth. And they said, woe to us. Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Think about that. Woe to us. Then he says, woe to us. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? Identity. With the presence of God, it brings us into unity, causes breath to come in us, to be one in unity, in unison. And then it causes us to actually find our true identity by being not only together with God, but to be together with one another. You want to be these mighty gods on the earth. You want to walk, we want to walk in power. We want to walk in the fullness of God. Then we got, we can't just have the presence of God in our individual life, but we've got to fight to have the presence of God in our relationships. We got to have that love not only here, but we've got to have that love this way as well. And you start finding out who you are through that. How many of you out there, and you, I mean, just admit, you know, you got to get right. You got to get sometimes, you know, there's times where I've sat here and I'll go, man, the presence of God, you know, is really coming, you know, and I'm just floored by the presence of God that's in this room and in my office. And I'm just sitting here weeping and it's just so wonderful. But then after that comes, I'm going to walk out of here and I've got to allow that to be that way with my with the people that I get connected with during the day. But there's no telling me I'm going to, I come and I'm sitting here in the presence of God and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to have such a great day. And then my phone rings after it's over and man, there's just people throwing up, there's defenses and all. And man, the first thing I do is I start manifesting some type of, I just can't believe you're like this. God, you need to really repent. I get off the phone. I just want to quit the ministry. I can't believe that they're doing. I mean, I just do all. And then God taps on my heart and go, that same presence, the reason they called you is because you have the presence on you to create unity above all this. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So I'm being lifted up in your life through the presence that I just gave you so that all men can come and they call you. Now you've got to show them what's really going on, that the presence of God is causing all of this. Create unity now. Don't walk out of your office and, you know, the presence of God's here, but he's not out there. Man, they talk about totally offended me. But I've got to see all things like the disciples said, all things is God. I've got to see it through God's eyes, not through my own. And man, sometimes it's tough because I love to blame things. You know, I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't want to take the blame, but the blame was on me. Those people had called me and was manifesting on me. Because I had the presence of God to create the unity and show them, hey, wait a minute, this is the Lord. I just got out of it. Let me give you some understanding. Instead, I'll get offended at them and, man, just want to give them a strong word. And, you know, then after you get off the phone, you start thinking, man, I just don't want to be around that person. You know, all kinds of stuff. I wish they'd get over it, you know. Can you imagine if the Lord thought that way about me? I mean, I can't imagine. So here it says, woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods. Listen to this. These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Isn't that amazing? They're seeing now this group of believers as true gods, gods of God. In other words, rulers of God. They see them as scripture says in the New Testament, kings and priests or Lord. He is the King of Kings. He is what? The Lord of Lords. In other words, he is the King of Gods and the King of Lords. In other words, he's trying to get us here through his presence, but we've got to see it his way instead of the way we've been taught. And this is it. The enemy is now seeing this group of people as a god on the earth. And man, this is really changing their minds about what they need to do. Because they start, if the presence of God comes back into our groups, then the enemy sees us transform into his likeness. And they're going, oh my gosh, God is now on the earth. But to keep him off the earth, he's got to continue to divide us. Remember that. And to keep him out of your earth, he's got to continue to divide you and get you offended. We've got to remember that. It's very important. Then you get to, if you start realizing the importance of love and the importance of presence of God, and not only in your own life, but with your relationship, you'll fight to get things restored. I'm telling you, you really will. You'll be amazed at what you do to see things. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. They'll inherit the kingdom. Why? Why are they peacemakers? Because they see the importance of bringing restoration than division. And they'll carry the kingdom of God. They will see God. They will see him face to face. Let's pull that up. I'll show you. I hope this helps. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Sons of God. In other words, it's the same thing. They become the actual image of the Lord. You inherit all the things of the Son. To be a peacemaker, it means you're totally consumed of the presence of God. And you see things his way instead of our way. Most of us see things our way or divided. You know, this is good, this is bad. But when you start seeing things as God, you'll try to bring peace in everything. Now, that doesn't mean you're always bringing peace. What it means is you're trying to make peace. You're trying to create it because you're seeing it his way instead of the enemy's. So that's Matthew 5. Let's go on. I'm almost done. Next one, walking in the presence of God causes the enemy to scatter. We see that the enemy is now, you know, upset. They're wondering, oh my Lord, these are the gods that, you know, caused the havoc in Egypt. What are we going to do? Because they're in unity. In Psalm 68, it says, let God arise. Verse 1, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let those also who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, let them rejoice exceedingly. That's exactly what happened here in Samuel. God arose on the earth. The way God arises on the earth is through people. We're waiting on God to come down, you know, and then he shows up, says, here I am. And it's like a light bulb goes on and the enemy scatters. But that's not the way it's worked. That's not the way it works. He wants God to arise in us, not me. If he just arose in me, that's just 10%. What I have is 10% of what I could have if I'm having unity with everyone. If I'm having unity with the ones that God has connected me to, if I'm fighting to keep restoration, then I start going from 10% to 20 to 30 to 40, and then there's 100%. And when it says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, he's talking about not just God in this way, but he's talking about God this way. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Now, let me explain that to you. When Moses had the tabernacle, everyone would encamp around the presence of God, around that tabernacle. And where the presence of God was, everyone encamped and everyone had a duty, but everyone was in unison with one another because God was there. And there would be someone, you know, on the mountain watching, and one would watch to see, and they were constantly looking at the presence of God. And if it started to move just a little bit, it just started to lift off the box or off the tabernacle, just a hair, they would scream out, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And man, if you were up on the mountain watching this, you wouldn't just be seeing the pillar of fire or the pillar of smoke arising. You'd see the whole earth moving with all these thousands of people, and they would be gathering their stuff, and they would be arising and putting the stuff together. And then you'd see this big, huge, just group of people, look like ants, all in unison. This big, huge image. Because they were all in the space of a cross, you know, this way. And so you see everyone just start moving with the presence of God. So it wasn't just God arising, it was God as people now on the earth. Let God arise. And when the people are in unison, that's when the enemy is scattered. So we've got to let God arise, let his presence arise not only in us, but with one another. Let the love of God control us so that we can be in unity. And the enemy will start to scatter. The glory says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. In other words, it won't be a problem. When smoke is in the air and you blow a little bit of breath or the wind blows, it just blows it right out. No problem, right? Are you with me? In other words, when we're in unity, the ruah or the breath of God just blows the enemy away like smoke. We don't have to be scared to start binding, you know, with freakiness. We start entering into a major place of the rest of God. I hope this helps. Because if we don't fight for it, not only in our lives, but with one another, we're going to stay divided. Don't let the enemy divide you from the body of Christ. Don't let the enemy divide you from God. Because it's a true statement. If you think you're in unity this way, but you're divided with one another, you're not in unity with God. It's just the way it is. It's a delusion to think that we're in unity with God if we're divided from one another. Thank God for Jesus' grace to give us time. Jesus' grace is not to say, hey, I forgive you, you know, I'm giving you a cushion here. No, his grace is to give us cushion while he's given us grace to be together. The grace of God is to actually walk in that unison with one another. Can you imagine the grace of God that would be seen if we were walking with our enemies or feeding them, knowing that our enemy is hungry? We call them up and say, hey, I'm going to bring you some food over. And you actually mean it because you're not doing it to, you know, out of religious spirit. You really do love your enemies. Can you imagine the grace that people would see if they saw that with not only us with one another, but man, to our true enemies? The enemy would scatter quickly, very quickly. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. The presence of God. We will continue on this thing of the power of the presence of God in Ezekiel. And just know this is going to come. That with the valley that God is placing us in that's coming, all of this is coming. It is so exciting of what's coming. But you've got to keep your head in the place of the Spirit, not the place on the earth. You look at all the political things that are happening right now, the media, you name it. You name it. Whatever's happening in your life that's negative, it's trying to keep you divided from God within your own self. And if you can get divided from God in thinking of all this negativity, you're going to be divided from your brothers. It just will happen. But we've got to get here. We've got to see that God's much more important. His focus, our focus should be much more important on him than the things that are going on around us that's creating division. All right. Well, Lord, we just love you and we thank you for this God stories this morning. And Lord, I'm like Bob, man, he was so excited for us to have 10%. Lord, we've got to have more. And Lord, I ask that everybody that watches this God story, that they would pray that you would give them grace to focus more on you than themselves, that they would focus more on you than their enemies, which would create in them us all a clean heart to not divide from our enemies, but to feed our enemies. Not to curse our brothers or to criticize our brothers or to talebear against our brothers or sisters. We would actually call our brothers and sisters and say, hey, I just want to say I forgive you. And I'm sorry for all the things that I've thought about you. I've labeled you. Give us that kind of heart, Lord, as you did on the cross. There was any time on the cross, Lord, that you had the right to criticize was then. Yet you asked for forgiveness for us. We ask for that, Lord. The heart of Jesus, the presence of God. Amen. All right. You guys have a good day. I'll see you next week here on God Stories. All right. Grace.